Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello. Happy Friday. It's Jen. This is Fat Mascara, a podcast about beauty culture and sometimes wellness culture, like today. I'm Jen Sullivan. Did I say that already? I think I did. Anyway, today I'm talking to Gudrun Ruth Snyder, a doctor of East Asian acupuncture. It's spring here in New York City, and I've started already getting questions from all of you and listeners and people who read my beauty column at The Cut about spring allergies. So I was thinking about how to cover the topic in a new way when I remembered hearing that acupuncture was actually a really great treatment for allergies. And of course, there are other ways to use acupuncture for cosmetic benefits. So I wanted to talk about that, and Gudrun is the perfect person to do that with. She completed her East Asian medical training at the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine. Before that, she studied management at Stanford. She did some EMT training at UCLA, and she has a degree in economics and neuropsychology from Vanderbilt University. She's the founder of Moon Rabbit Acupuncture, which has two locations in Chicago. And on top of that, she's a mom, she's a board member for the nonprofit Twist Out Cancer, and a board officer for Chicago's West Central Association Chamber of Commerce. So we're going to talk about allergies a little bit, but all the other things that acupuncture can do. And if you're still just not sure how acupuncture works, and frankly, I include myself in that camp, this is the interview for you. Let's get into it. Gudrun, welcome. Welcome to Fat Mascara. How are you?
I am so good. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to you. You're the person I would corner at a cocktail party, I think.
I feel so flattered to be cornered by you. I would want to corner you as well because I am a super fan. I can't help but say that. I am a super fan. I was just re-listening to the podcast you did. I'm going to forget her name, but she was the chemist who is behind the skincare lines, who not only helps people create them, but also trains people. And I find her just fascinating and amazing. And I love that you bring on not only celebrities, but the people who are behind the scenes, like us, trying to make people be well, feel well, look well, all the things.
Are you my new street team? Is it like, should you be my hype person? I know
I'll
you have
be
a business degree.
Anytime. Clearly. Anytime. I love it.
She quits Moon Rabbit Acupuncture to come be the CMO at Fat Mascara.
You just ask. I'll be there.
I'm glad to speak to you because I feel like acupuncture is one of those things that we're all like, oh, I love it. It's such a good idea. What is it again?
Oh, absolutely. I had someone come in literally yesterday and she goes, I really like what's going on here. You know, we have a beautiful storefront. It's very pretty. She goes, but I'm just not sure I'm an acupuncture person, right? Even with all the wonderful on-trend things now, right? That acupuncture is so in the media. It's so hyped up. Everyone's really getting on the train. But nobody really knows what's going on, right? Behind the scenes. Like, how does it work? What is acupuncture? Right?
I know. I want to get into that and some of the cosmetic benefits. But first, when you tell people you're a doctor of East Asian acupuncture, what's the question they ask you? Do they just say, what is that?
A lot of people say, what is that? A lot of people say, how did you become an acupuncturist, right, in this day? And then really what people say also, especially living in the Midwest, which I think we kind of adopt things after the coasts, how does acupuncture work? What is it even good for?
Yeah, let's do all that. Let's do first, how did you become a doctor of East Asian acupuncture?
So the very shortened version is my grandmother's from Shanghai. She was actually a Western-style doctor, an ear, nose, and throat doctor. She trained in Yale School of Medicine in China and then came to the U.S. to learn more of the modern techniques, but got trapped here because of the poor U.S.-Chinese relations. And then, of course, generations later, here I am. And every morning at sunrise, she would get up and do Tai Chi with a traditional Chinese sword. She lived to over 100 years old and lived by gardening, using herbal medicine. My dad, who also became a physician, had the Chinese acupuncture charts in his medical office. So I grew up in this world where I really revered my grandmother, my father, and saw that not only were they Western medicine doctors, but they also incorporated Eastern medicine lifestyles, techniques to help them be well and stay well. And so then here I am, generations later, I go to undergrad at Vanderbilt. I end up in Hollywood being at William Morris Agency, which is at the time the biggest agency in the world.
Oh, you
right?
had a Devil Wears Prada moment.
Oh, I had a that's exactly how I describe it. And I was working in motion picture talent and my grandmother got sick. So I went to go see her and I realized like I have this coveted, very cool job. Hard, but very cool, right? And it really wasn't filling my cup. And I realized what would fill my cup is being connected to my history, my legacy, my culture. And I left William Morris and went back to school, became an acupuncturist, but then also created Moon Rabbit because I wanted acupuncture to be given in a way that I like to consume goods. I felt that a lot of time acupuncture still felt very foreign to people and foreign in the way that like they didn't feel comfortable going there without knowing enough. Sometimes we don't immerse ourselves in another culture because we're scared. And so I wanted to give acupuncture in a consumable way where like it's in a beautiful place with people that are super highly trained and you feel good just walking in the space.
Tell me Moon Rabbit. What's the story behind the name?
So the story behind the name is the Moon Rabbit is actually based on a traditional Chinese folktale that's told to children. It's okay. Based on the Jade Emperor. So the Jade Emperor is this famous mythological emperor in Chinese folklore. He disguised himself as a beggar, went out into the countryside and was begging for food. And all the different animals came and the chicken said, I'll lay eggs for you. The fox said, I will catch any animal you want and I'll feed it to you. But the rabbit said, I can't do anything except for give my own self to you. And so the rabbit sacrificed himself to feed what he thought was a beggar. And the beggar then transformed himself back into the Jade Emperor and said, for your sacrifice, I'm going to give you immortality and let you live on the moon with the goddess of beauty, Chang'er, and you'll grind up medicine for people to live on Earth and be well. And that's the Moon Rabbit. And so Moon Rabbit is really based because no one becomes an acupuncturist to make money. Acupuncturists become acupuncturists because we feel a calling, because we want to heal.
You're the rabbits.
We're the rabbits, right? We are the rabbits. And so that's what the Moon Rabbit is
all
about.
What would we do without the rabbits? Thank you, rabbits.
Right. Thank you, rabbits. And it's a wonderful thing. And I so appreciate the people who go to this field because, again, you don't become an acupuncturist because you're driven by you're going to make this big bank at the end of the day. Instead, you're doing it to really heal people in many different ways.
Yeah. I want to talk about the healing because I feel like a lot of people get people to have a general sense of what acupuncture is, right? You're putting needles in the body to heal, to hundreds of peer-reviewed studies showing it works. But the thing that trips people up, I think, is the whole Eastern-Western side of how it works. Let's talk Western-y first. Let's talk peer-reviewed studies. Let's talk micro-level. When that little needle goes in there, what is going on?
So there's a couple of different things. There is actually on the most basic level, you're wrapping muscle fibers around a needle. So like, let's say you go to the acupuncturist for pain and you have low back pain. Those muscle fibers get wrapped around that needle. And when that acupuncturist releases it, there are actually studies that show that the release of the needle is what actually helps to relax the muscles.
When they pull it out, you mean?
When you pull it out. And there are also some acupuncturists who will even manipulate the needle while it's in you, depending on their techniques, right?
Okay.
And so that's a muscle fiber release action. That's just the very basic level when you're treating pain. But there's also studies that show acupuncture works on nerve cells that happen to do with inflammation and decrease inflammation in the body by calming down cytokine storms. And cytokines are involved in whole body inflammation. Inflammation, whether it's from cancer treatment, whether it's when you've had an infection from a flu, a bacterial infection, things like that. Acupuncture can also help calm those nerves and calm the cytokine storm down. Additionally, acupuncture helps to increase dopamine and serotonin, our happy hormones, right? So it just makes us feel good. That's why it's so good for stress, right? And there's so many other ways that I think in the next 5, 10, 20 years, we're going to really learn more about the neurological and actual biological basis of how acupuncture works, because there's such more of a trend towards wellness, low-cost, proactive health interventions, right? But right now, there's still a little bit of an unknown.
You're right. And speaking to the unknown, let's talk about qi.
Oh, I love some qi. Yes.
Okay. Because we just talked about, I like it. You gave us some science as to how it's working, but you cannot discount this huge cultural heritage, this philosophy behind it. Can you be an acupuncturist or go get acupuncture without acknowledging the TCM side of it?
You know, people ask me all the time, they're like, if I don't believe this works, is it not going to work? And I'm like, it absolutely will work, because not only is there a biological basis to it, but also
please see
qi,
previous question.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly. But qi is real and qi is energy. And I think we all, again, are feeling that energy in the world. You walk into a room and you can feel if that room is filled of like negative energy or positive energy, right? And that is qi, that is vital energy of the universe. And from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective, qi is everywhere. And some people are more sensitive to those energetic vibrations of the world. I have to say, growing up and into my mid-20s, I was not very sensitive to it. I was chugging along. And then until I actually took a moment and came back to myself and like really, really analyzed what I really wanted to do with my life, did I actually feel that qi was real. I came from it. I went to Vanderbilt undergrad. I did an economics background and psychology and neuroscience. And when I came into Chinese medicine, I was like, I don't know about this qi, right?
Yeah.
But the more that I learned and immersed myself in, I'm like, it is so real. So qi from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective is the vital energy of the body. And when qi flows freely, we feel really good. And when qi is blocked, we feel pretty bad. And what that can mean is you get a headache, you are bummed out, you're depressed, maybe you're angry, maybe you have stomach upset. For all of us, it's different depending on where your qi is blocked. And from a TCM perspective, acupuncture works to smooth the flow of qi in your body and bring you back into balance.
And TCM being traditional Chinese medicine.
Yes.
If I still have this hang up, I'm thinking, you can't deny, if you're listening, you're like, I still don't get it. Qi, what? It's like a wind that blows. I don't know. I feel like I picture like a beautiful animation story telling me it. But you can't deny that, like, you talk to other people and you feel an instinct or an energy, and you know some people are more empathetic than others, or you know there's just, like, I always say, there's bad juju in here and you don't know it. But so in other cultures, might there be this same kind of philosophy, but they just name it a different thing?
Absolutely. And every culture has a different name for it, right? And Ayurvedic culture, and I'm forgetting the name of it, what they call it in Ayurvedic medicine, but we each have a name for what this energy is. And I think even in Western medicine, we call it essentially like oxygenation and breath, right? When you feel your chest is tight, you don't have asthma, there's nothing else going on, right? But that's your qi being blocked. That's your qi in your chest being blocked. You're not getting pure oxygenation of your tissues. And I think a good test, even for people who are just listening and wanting to know more about qi, is I often tell people, like, rub your hands together, right? And then pull them apart. And keep
doing
them.
It. We're all doing
exactly.
It right
We're
now.
All going to like rub our hands together for like 15 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? And then when we pull them apart, just slightly, like a palm width apart, do you feel something?
I mean, totally.
Absolutely. And of course, there's a kinetic reason and there's a biological reason.
It's tingly. It's like they're...
It's tingly. And then when you pull them out further from each other, it gets a little less. And then pull them all the way back in. You might feel a
but
little
more. But
isn't
that just static electricity?
It absolutely is. But static electricity is also qi.
Yeah. See, this is my thing. I like to put things in labels and not get all organized.
We all do.
And it's just...
We all do. And everybody, some people don't even have to rub their hands together.
And they
can
feel
it.
That.
And that's because they're more sensitive to qi.
And these are the electrical pulses that run through the world.
That's
and
right.
The plants and all of that.
Exactly.
So I need to stop thinking about qi as almost like... I know it's not religious, but like, I can't think of it as too woo-woo. It's just the natural way that humans go through the world and experience it.
It is, but I think it's okay to think of it however you want to. Put it in your framework that works for you. I think we should put less judgment on ourselves being like, I have to either accept chi as real or I have to put a judgment on chi that it's not. I'm like, feel how you feel. Chi is still real. Right? Chi is still happening and it will still work in your body and in the universe how it's supposed to.
Even amongst the skeptics. And I was a skeptic until the first time I got acupuncture and I'm like, oh, why isn't everybody doing this?
Same, same. I was a skeptic for a long time. Is this real? And it is.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the reason I had you on. This is all fascinating, but like it's a post that I saw a while ago from Moon Rabbit and it was about allergies. And I was like, wait, acupuncture can help with allergies. So I want to get into some of the things that acupuncture can do for people. And it being spring right now, I was like, why don't we start with this and we'll see where it takes us. But like, it can help with sneezing and nasal congestion. Here's what your post said. Did you know acupuncture can help relieve your seasonal allergy symptoms like sneezing and nasal congestion? And I was like, no, I did not know. So what's going on there? How does it help that if it is
acupuncture?
Explain, please.
Is this amazing thing that so for thousands of years, acupuncture in China and other areas of East Asia was the primary form of medicine. And so it was an entire scope of medicine, treated all sorts of different things. And so they learned a lot through trial and error, right? And these acupuncture points that they finally figured out actually have been found now through modern science to correspond to areas that decrease inflammation, decrease stress, and decrease your overall body's response to things that shouldn't be responding so strongly. So like when we have allergies, it's our natural body's response to an allergen that is actually an inappropriate response. We have allergic responses based on certain things that were actually fulfilled functions in evolutionary history, right? But now in modern day, we don't really need to be allergic to pollen. We don't really need to be allergic to grass, things like that. But we still
pause you. What would be a biological route, like evolutionarily?
This is just me hypothesizing, so let's not put too much.
Oh, let's go.
Let's not put much, you know, heavy weight in this, but for example, historically, some people shouldn't have had certain raw meats, oysters, things like that, shellfish that were improperly cooked. And so our body had this natural response to these foods and other allergens in the world. Let's say certain bacteria that are going to come into your body, right? So people are going to have these big allergic responses, right? And that's when histamine comes up. And it's actually your body protecting itself. It's closing its windpipe. It's closing its like nasal passages and things like that because it's trying to prevent from these toxic things from entering your body further. But now in modern day, we don't really need these protections because we know how to cook food. We have all these other sanitary procedures for the world. Bacteria is not as scary as it once was. And so now when we have these allergic responses, they don't serve a purpose, right? We don't need to be protected from shellfish in the same way. We don't need to be protected from uncooked foods the same way, right? Because we know how to cook and when to cook things. And then also even in the environment, we're better built because our bodies have also become stronger faster, right? But we haven't lost these other protectionary mechanisms.
Right. And with seasonal allergies, our environments aren't as natural as they used to be.
Absolutely right.
Because I feel
like
everybody says their allergies get worse and worse every year.
The allergies do get worse and worse every year because our air actually does get worse and worse every year, right?
Yeah,
and that air that we're breathing now is not the same air we were breathing 3,000 years ago, right? Because of all of the industrial things that are happening in our world. So our body has this histamine response, and what acupuncture helps to do is calm that histamine response. It's almost unreal when I see a patient come in who's like, I've been suffering from hives and I have this constant nasal congestion or my face is so bloated because I just keep holding on to all this weight and my body keeps puffing up every time I go outside and I'm around the flowering trees. And then they get their acupuncture and after only a few treatments, their body is a completely different place. It's just magical.
And when you put the needles in for, you mentioned this briefly, but when you put them in for these kind of symptoms, are they going in one's sinuses, for example, or are they other places on the body?
So some of them will go in your sinuses and you'll actually feel like an immediate like popping release. It's almost the same as massaging an area, right? Like let's say you have a headache, let's say you have a sinus headache and you press on it, it probably feels a little better, right?
Yes.
And so from that perspective, just the local area feels good, but they're also distal, which means like far away from the area, places that we put the needles in that either calm inflammation or they are decreasing cortisol levels, a stress hormone, right? Yeah. Or they're actually just making you feel good. And when your body's in this fight or flight, like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to protect myself from this evil antigen, it is a good way to bring your body down.
Yeah, to chill it out. Anybody who's had seasonal allergies, and obviously cat, you know, animal allergies and food allergies are different, but seasonal allergies, you just look gross.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Even if you blow your nose and it's a good day, you're just like puffy in the face, eyes red. What's going on there? Why all these like appearance changes?
Well, that's the histamine in your body. So like, for example, when you have histamine, it's going to make things redder. So like around your nostrils, even if you're like not blowing your nose, your nose is going to get red because your blood, your vessels dilate.
And your eye vessels as well. Like your eyes look so
yes,
red and runny.
Your blood vessels dilate in certain areas and then other areas constrict. It depends on what the actual interaction of histamine is with the certain areas of your body, right? And so in your eyes, they get red. Your nose gets red. You get the hives. This is all from blood vessel, like vasodilation. And so then acupuncture needles help bring that body's response down. They even can bring like your heart rate down, your blood pressure down, all of those things that can happen during a histamine and allergy response.
I don't want to be like superficial about it, but would people walk out of acupuncture and be less red in the face, for
example? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it can be a magical life-changing thing. However, I always want to say like acupuncture doesn't work for everybody. I want to be very, very realistic. We are all very different humans. Just like, let's say, Tylenol works magic for one person and it doesn't for the other person's headache. Acupuncture can be amazing for one person.
Wait,
and not
I'm sorry.
The
there's
other
people
one.
Who have headaches that aren't helped by. I'm serious. Like a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, or I guess like a migraine. Obviously not, yeah, but. Yeah. I guess you mean our response to it would be
our
different.
Our response to everything is super different. There are people who are super responsive to acupuncture who walk out feeling like a new person. And there are other people who are like, is this even working? Right? You'll never feel worse.
No, that's good. That's what I said the first time I got acupuncture. I was like, well, I got a nice nap in the middle of the day.
Exactly.
I just chilled out. Who gets to leave work for 45 minutes and go lay on a nice table with some soothing sound
right.
around? I was
at
like, that
minimum,
was fun.
Minimum, you get a beautiful cat nap and a rest from your day where you're not on your phone.
Listen, people will pay for that.
Absolutely.
I'll pay for that part of
There's
it.
There's nap rooms at like membership places now that you can pay for that's like at least
yeah,
you get
but
a little
I'm getting
acupuncture, right?
All these other benefits at
yes.
the same time.
Yes.
Why not?
But then there's other people who are so responsive to acupuncture that it genuinely can change their lives.
And now are these the people that go regularly? Someone's listening and they're like, okay, I want to give it a try. But then they're like, wait, is this now like every week for the rest of my life to keep these benefits going?
It really depends. And my hope, okay. I always tell my patients this, is that you come whatever amount that needs to be for you, whether it's one time, whether it's three, whether it's 10, whether it's this is an ongoing life change for you. But I want you to come and be so excited about what acupuncture gives to you that you shout it from the rooftops, right? That you are telling your friends that even if it's one time, let's say you've had this terrible migraine and nothing is helping, and then you come in and you get acupuncture and it's fixed, that makes me happy. And for some people, that's all they need. It's so person dependent. And I think the more we acknowledge that that's not only true for acupuncture, but also true for so many other things, that you can try one thing that your best friend says is the best thing ever, and you're like, I don't know if I liked that much, right?
Yeah, beauty products.
Beauty products, exactly, exactly. And so acupuncture might not work for everybody, but for the people it does, it can be transformative.
What are some of the other things besides, I got into allergies just because of the time of the year, and I know we get a lot of questions about that.
Yeah.
But speaking cosmetically, because I know we talk, I hear about fertility treatments and pain a lot with acupuncture, but speaking cosmetically, what are practitioners like you doing to help people with acupuncture?
Well, we do cosmetic acupuncture here at Moon Rabbit. And so—
What does that mean? What is cosmetic acupuncture?
Cosmetic acupuncture, when you do it with a real acupuncturist, that's someone who is board certified and licensed in their state to practice. Cosmetic acupuncture is a whole entire body treatment, right? When you think of beauty and how your skin looks, that comes from the inside out. So when someone comes to me for cosmetic acupuncture, not only do I talk about what's going on like on their face, I'm like, what are your concerns on your face? What would you like to improve? What's your goal? But then I'm also like, what's going on with your body? Are you having GI issues? Are you having shoulder pain? What might it be? Because we treat the entire body. Because when you feel good, you look good. In just that simplest term, so we do a full body treatment. And then just like micro needling works, we create micro traumas in the skin. We use more needles in the face than we typically would. And those micro traumas in the face help create elastin and collagen, but it's much more subtle than you'll get with a micro needling treatment, right? Micro needling, you have to get numbed up. You might need a little rest that day. You're not going out that night, but with acupuncture and cosmetic acupuncture, you can go out and go out with your girlfriends for cocktails right after. You look like you got your best sleep.
Now, is there history to using the needles in this way? Or is that something people like you in modern times realized, oh yeah, that little micro trauma, let's do it where people want to get some collagen going?
I think a little bit of both. I think historically in ancient China, were they using this to like make you look young forever? Probably not, also because you only live to like 30 years old, so right? But at the same time, there are acupuncture points on the body that have been around for hundreds and thousands of years that are for lifting. There's one on the top of the head that's all about lifting up, right? There's one above the eyes that's about clearer, bigger, brighter eyes. It's literally called bright eyes, right? And so, and I incorporate that into the treatment for cosmetic acupuncture. So there is actual acupuncture points that are focused on aesthetic concerns, but was there cosmetic acupuncture originally? Probably not.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Listen, there are so many skincare products on the market claiming to help reduce fine lines and wrinkles, and you know I will try most of them. But how do you know your products are actually working? Some research to back up the claims. That's why Jess and I are all about Ritual. They created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted a clinical study to take the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual's Hyacera is now a part of my skincare routine, and I got in the habit of taking it every day by putting the cute little purple jar right next to my sunscreen. It looks nice on my vanity, and let's be honest, I love that. But once I stuck with the habit, I really noticed a difference in my skin. I am not the only one. In a clinical study, taking Hyacera for 90 days led to a 3.6-time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles as compared to placebo. And it led to a 2.9 increase in skin smoothness. I also like that they're easy to swallow. The capsules sort of taste like vanilla. They're not all weird and fishy like some other supplements. Plus, Ritual is a certified B Corp, something we learned about on a recent episode. And all their supplements, including the Daily Protein and their Sleep Bio Series Melatonin supplement, are vegan, gluten-free, and made traceable. Do what Jess and I did. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. You mentioned when we were talking about allergies, like puffy face, which is something that I think facialists often talk about. Does the acupuncture do anything for that type, you know, when you wake up and you're just like,
the puffy
I had
face.
Too much salt last night kind of look.
I feel you very much on that. So for acupuncture, not only does it move qi, it moves fluids. So one of the things you might find after you get an acupuncture treatment is that you're actually going to the bathroom a little bit more. That's completely normal because we're actually moving lymph fluids. We are activating your GI and your urinary system when we want to. And so when you have a puffy face, we're going to include points in your body to drain the puffiness out of your face, whether we believe it's lymph, water, whatever it might be.
Yeah, lymph confuses me.
Confuses a lot of people, right?
Yeah. What is lymph? Because we are all like, oh yeah, I need to do lymph drainage. And you're like, oh no, I did it the wrong way and I backed up my lymph. I'm like, your body, doesn't it work? Doesn't it drain the way it's supposed to? What is lymph and
typically,
what's going on there?
Typically, your body does. We have a whole lymphatic system in your body that their entire function is to move lymph, which is your immune portion of your body. This is where like your white blood cells live.
So it's a fluid running through my body that is not blood.
That is
but
not
that is moving
blood.
Things.
Correct.
Right. Does it have its own tubes? I'm sorry to
it has
be
its
so
own
like
tubes. It has its own complete separate system. And a lot of people, when they think and they go get a lymphatic massage, this is one of the trends. We have one here. We do lymphatic drainage massage. They think they need like this deep tissue massage, right? That's actually not true.
Right. Because we picture a straw like a boba and there's boba balls in there and you got to suck them, move them along.
Yes.
That's what I'm picturing, literally.
And it's actually not wrong in some ways. And we have these lymph nodes where concentrated areas of your body where this all kind of happens, right? And things get concentrated and filtered and all of that. And so like when people who are going through cancer treatment have those lymph nodes removed, that filtration system doesn't work as well, right? And so that's when they get that lymphedema and things like that and that swelling. But it's actually a pretty superficial system. That's why when you press on certain areas of your body—
Superficial meaning close to the surface.
Close to the surface, that's right. So when you press on certain areas of your body, that's why you can sometimes feel like an enlarged lymph node.
Oh, yeah. And whenever we've been sick and our armpits, our groin, our neck, you know when you've swollen lymph nodes.
Yes. And so these deep tissue massages aren't actually really targeting lymph. It actually just like pushes water out of your body and can make you feel a little dehydrated. That's not a proper lymphatic drainage massage. When you're getting your lymph moved, it's pretty superficial. So like with needles, like acupuncture, which are super superficial, we can work on the lymph system. And when you get a proper lymphatic massage or use gua sha tools on your face and your body, you can work on your lymph system.
And that's more of scraping, not this like the person is pizza dough. Like in Hollywood,
correct.
Like before the awards, and you see these videos of people literally getting kneaded.
Yeah, getting like beat up.
And then they look a little bit slimmer.
They do. It's because they lost water weight, which is different than lymphatic.
In that process, would the lymph get going a little?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the lymph is always going, and the more you move—
But the visual thing that we're seeing is usually a movement of water in the body.
That's my perception and understanding.
Yeah. So when you're doing, like you're using acupuncture for lymphatic drainage benefits, I mean, not specifically, but that's a side benefit.
Yes.
What happens to the face? Does it look different
it
afterwards?
It should look, I always say, cosmetic acupuncture is never going to be Botox. We're never going to freeze your face. We're never going to be plastic surgery where we're giving you a facelift or removing fat. But we're going to make you look like your best self. When you have had your best night of sleep, where you haven't drank alcohol or ate too much salt, and the next day you're like a little bit glowy, and you're like, oh, I feel great today. That's what cosmetic acupuncture does for you.
And how long will that last?
Ideally, you are coming in for a number of treatments with a short duration in between them. So I like to see people for 10 treatments, 2 times a week for 5 weeks. And the reason why is the microtraumas in your skin, it's additive. So let's say you, okay, I answered the question this way. Let's say you did exercise. You wanted to lose 40 pounds. And you're like, how long is this one time of exercise going to last to lose this 40 pounds? I'm like, well, that's not really how it works, right? It's additive. Yeah. And so the more you do it, the more it works, but then you don't need to do it as much. Once you've lost those 40 pounds, you can do maintenance and you don't have to be working out all the time so, so much. With cosmetic acupuncture, once you reach your goal, you should not have to be coming in so much. This is just more of a maintenance. Come in every quarter, come in every 6 months, get your checkup, but it's not something you should be doing all the time.
And this refreshed look that you're ending up with, I feel like it's multifactorial because you're getting the lymph, you're getting maybe the microtrauma for the collagen, but like picture the best day of your life and the serotonin, just that vibe, like the glow of when you're in love.
Oh, yes. Kind of it's vibes. The AccuGlow. Like when I come back in the room after leaving the needles and someone, I'm like, oh, they got their AccuGlow. I can just see it. They have a little smile on their face. Their cheeks are a little pink. Like they just look a little more sparkly. And that's what you want from your acupuncture treatment.
So we talked about cosmetic, we talked about acupuncture. What are some of the other surprising things that when you tell them, no, I can actually help that, are you able to do with acupuncture?
I'd love this question because not only is this like a daily physical body thing, but also it's an aesthetic thing. A lot of people suffer from GI issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Constipation is one of those big ones, especially when we're stressed out or we've been eating
That's
funny.
That's a chi clog. I feel
oh,
like
Oh, yeah, that is a chi clog. We need to trademark that. It's chi clog. and then you feel bloaty and yucky, right? And
yeah.
your body feels bloaty. You look bloaty. Acupuncture, again, can be transformative for constipation. I can think of this one patient in particular that she tried everything, you know, and her doctor had prescribed her like Miralax on the daily basis and all of these things, and it wasn't working. And I was like, can you just give me, I was like, I always defer to your physician, but just give me like 3 weeks. Come see me for 3 weeks, twice a week, and let's see what happens. And she could not believe how well she was pooping. She was like,
what a blessing.
I'm pooping like a champion, right? And it changed her life, right? It changed her life.
No, but even the color of your skin when you're feeling like back,
that's
like, yeah,
right.
you
even
sallow.
The color
or,
of your skin, you, yeah. your body looks and feels different. So that's one of the things that people don't really know about acupuncture. When you think of something that's stuck and stagnant and going to the bathroom, like acupuncture can help things move.
Why are you always looking at people's tongues in TCM?
Ooh, okay, so tell me, try to think about like a little kid and their tongue and it's sticking out at you. It's like pink and rosy.
A little strawberry,
and
adorable.
It's adorable. And then you think of like an older person and they stick their tongue out at you. It probably has like a little bit of a white film on it. It's a little pale. It's pretty veiny. Your tongue is very indicative of not only your chi, your youth, but like what's going on with you. Internally, your tongue changes as you change. Your skin has a reaction to foods. Your tongue has a reaction to foods and what's going on, right? It's also why medications can change your tongue. Like I think, what is it? Pepto-Bismol can change make your tongue black.
It makes, yeah.
Yeah, can make your tongue black, right? There's all sorts of different things that can change your tongue. And so when we look at a tongue, it's very indicative of a person's health. What we want to see is a nice, pink tongue with a thin white coat that has some moisture but isn't like slimy. It doesn't have a lot of teeth marks in it. And that's what we're looking for health.
When you used to go hang out with your grandma, did she make you stick out your tongue?
She did not, but she would look at my face. So I do facial diagnosis and my grandmother would look at me and be like, you don't look so good, right? And now I do
would
that
she
too.
Know? Would she
would
be
know.
Right?
She would absolutely know. And I do facial diagnosis too. I actually don't use the tongue or the pulses like some acupuncturists do. I use facial diagnosis.
And what is that?
There's different portions of your face that correspond to different organs. But for me, it's like, what's the color of your eyes? Are the whites actually white? Are they yellow? Do you have bags under your eyes? Is your skin look like it's hydrated? Does it look like it has good blood circulation? Is there a yellowness to it? Are there certain areas that are gray? And that is very indicative of health for me. I can pretty much tell the moment someone walks in the door where they are in their health status with their face.
This is a scary superpower. You like walking around Chicago just like, oh, they got to get their liver checked
well,
or whatever.
It's so funny. I was just at the opera and I was sitting next to somebody and I don't try to diagnose my coworkers, but it was a coworker and I go, can we just talk about how your joints are feeling? She was like,
how not you? Now I'm at the opera.
I know. And I was like, I don't usually talk about this at work because I try to keep the diagnosis out of it, but we're outside of work, but
yeah.
You look like your joints hurt. And she was like, yeah, they do.
And that was from you look.
That was from me looking at her face.
From her face. What was what is different in a bad joint face? I'm just curious.
She had certain parts of her face that are articulating parts, right? Like your jaw, by your cheeks, here, right? And it was just yellower and like looked inflamed for someone.
Where the joints on her face are, like
on her face
the jaw
are, right?
joint.
Right,
yeah.
exactly. On her okay. face. And they looked yellower. And I was like, this girl is healthy. Otherwise, she has good energy. She like her eyes are bright, all the things. But I was like, you look like you're inflamed.
Do you make people take their foundation off in order to do your diagnosis?
You know, I should, but I just, you know, we all like
you can
our
tell
makeup.
Either.
You can just tell, right?
Yeah. It's funny you brought up jaw. That's something that I have had listeners write in about, like a tight jaw, TMJ. That's something that acupuncture can help
it's
with as well, right?
It's one of my favorite things to treat because, again, this is one of those things that people go around and they're like, I'm doing the bike guard at night. I've tried everything and nothing's working. And acupuncture, again, can be one of those magic things for some people where you only need a few treatments. And usually that I really treat mostly locally. Of course, there's stress-related stuff too that I do with the body, but it's anti-inflammatory, right? Calms it down, makes you sleep well.
Oh, we love beauty sleep
we
here.
We love beauty
sleep. I was looking at Moon Rabbit services, and first I'm curious, like what are most people coming in for? Do they know? and they're like, want one specific thing? Or is it just like, make me better?
It's funny. So people will come in with this whole list of things. And then I ask them, what's your wellness wish? If I was a magical wellness fairy and you can make any wellness wish.
You are, your moon rabbit. So yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I say, what's your magical wellness wish? And a lot of them, when they come in, they have all these complaints. And really, at the end of the day, they just want to feel grounded and sleep well and functional in this crazy world. And all of the other things are a symptom of them not feeling like they're doing that well, whether it's a headache, their backache, etc.
Oh, sleep too. Wow. Yeah. When you're not sleeping well, forget about it.
Forget about it. It changes your life when you have a good night's sleep.
And you can help with that.
Yeah.
I also noticed ear seating, which
yes.
I don't think I would have an ear seating person on the podcast just to talk about that. But since I know Moon Rabbit offers that, what are ear seeds?
Ear seeds are amazing. So they're called ear seeds because in ancient China, they actually used seeds from the Vicaria plant and they pressed them at acupuncture points in the ears to treat what ails them. So whether it was digestive issues, pain, etc. Now in the modern day, we still call them ear seeds because that's what it's based on. But at least at Moon Rabbit, we use these 24 karat gold beads and we place them using a medical grade adhesive on acupressure points in the ears to treat insomnia, to treat stress, to treat fertility. I actually have some in my ears right now. I know the listeners can't see, but I have one in a spot called... Right?
Jewelry.
This one is a Swarovski covered crystal one because that's just my style. I like a little bling. Mm-hmm. And I have it in Shen Men, which means spirit gate. So it's for stress. I also have one for detox because I'm going to go out for cocktails after this. Right? And I want to detox myself so well. Right? But then we also have the little plain gold ones, which are almost invisible to the eye. And we use them. I actually had this one patient, she had hip surgery. And she's like, I don't feel well enough to have acupuncture, but I feel a little nauseous after the anesthesia. My hips are a little bit sore. And all she wanted was ear seating. And that's it. And she thought it was so helpful for her.
And those places where you're putting them in the ear, are those the same places that if you were having acupuncture, you would be getting a needle?
Yes, exactly. So we have ear seating kits at Moon Rabbit and we sell them. So for people who aren't local in Chicago, they can buy them online. And in the kit comes with a little ear seating map that has the spots that you can put them on for different things, whether it's back pain, stress, digestion, detox like mine, etc. And they are acupuncture points.
Can you feel the pressure or it's...
Sometimes the pain ones you can feel, which is actually normal. Like pain points in acupuncture, you often do feel them because in acupuncture, in order to heal, sometimes you got to feel. And so those points you may feel them. But like, for example, the ones that I have on my ear right now, which are sort of for stress and detox, I don't feel them at all.
Why is it just ears? Like, why can't we put in little seeds all over?
I mean, technically, you know, those bracelets that you get for nausea. What are those called? The C bracelets or something? Those are based on an acupressure point, an actual acupuncture point. That is an acupuncture point that we use for either morning sickness, nausea, vomiting, and it goes on the point that we put needles in. So there are ear seeds or beads or pressure points on the body that you can use. So it doesn't have to be your ears. Ears are just so cute and fun and you can make them look like earrings. But it can literally be anywhere.
Yeah, but if we went back to like our ancestors and they saw what we did with what would they think?
I mean, they would think so many things about all the things we're doing. I can just think about like
what are you guys doing?
Botox and fillers, like freezing your face. What would our ancestors think about freezing our face?
They're like, you mean the cow poison that literally poisons our cows? You have now filtered it and put it in your face to freeze muscles.
100%. Like we actually use that against our enemies to like hunt them. Now we just use it to freeze our muscles in our forehead, right? So who knows what they would think of us, but I love combining ancient and modern to be our best selves.
Yeah. You seem like a beauty girl too. I mean, I don't get to Chicago a lot. I'm curious, who's doing your brows? Who's doing your lashes?
Oh, I'm doing all the things. I am the most like, let's do all the things. Let's live in a modern world where we utilize everything in our toolbox. So I get my lashes done by Lashes by Yana. I get them done every 2 weeks because I love it. And I get the individuals. I get the little glueys on and I think that they're the best because they make me feel awake. I don't have to wear as much makeup. I love it. I get microblading for my eyebrows.
Oh, they're microbladed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you do microblading?
I'm just born this way.
Are you for real? You're so lucky.
Those are my brows.
I mean, I'm Asian, so like hair is not something that we have a lot of or in abundance.
This is a Persian brow. This is thank you to my ancestors.
Exactly. Like I have to put on the lashes, put on the brows. I have nothing. My grandmother had no eyelashes and no eyebrows by the time she died, right?
Your brows look great, though. Where'd you get them done?
I got them done by Estilo Microblading Salon here in Chicago. She's wonderful. She started her own business. She's a single mom. I love her. Oh, actually, my lashes lady's a single mom, too. I think I just love all the single moms.
You could do a whole trade routine. Like they come in for one thing, you go for lashes. Oh,
and I used to do trades all the time, but then Moon Rabbit has become, and I'm so blessed, become so busy that trade, it's hard to do now. That when it is, it's hard, and my team has grown. I opened the second location. We expanded from when I was just one person seeing everybody to now I have 30 staff members. So like,
oh, wow.
It's just changed so quickly over the past 4 years. We're also launching our own product line soon. So all these good things are happening, right?
That is good. Let's wait before I let you go and we do the Fat Mascara 5. I have to talk about beauty a little bit more. So like, what's your skincare routine?
Ooh, I have a crazy skincare routine. I was just telling one of my cosmetic patients today, I have, not only do I do like the cleansers, the oil remover, the exfoliants, I actually listen to my body very much. And each day I choose a different beauty product depending on what my body's telling me. So like yesterday I ate a lot of sweet potato chips and they had a lot of salt. So I gua shaed my face with Vertli oil, which is, it's their CBD oil. I love Vertli. And I did that first, but then I added on the SkinCeuticals anti-aging cream because I felt like not only after I needed a little de-bloat, I also felt like I needed a little exfoliation too, right? Because I think my pores were excreting oil to make up for all the things that I did to it yesterday. And then after that, I try to wear as little makeup as possible. But in the winter, I do put on a foundation to just protect my skin in Chicago because the wind
is
terrible.
Which one do you use?
So I use Westman Atelier's one, which I love, right? Classic. Yeah. I use the stick. I do the contour stick. And then I try to stay as clean as possible, but I do love NARS's concealer under the eyes. I can't help it.
Are we talking soft matte or the tube radiant one? Or
the
one
that's in the rectangular case. It's like the little...
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That just...
It's a liquid concealer, not the pot one.
It's a liquid concealer. Yes, I like that one. It's a classic and it works so well. I know it's not the cleanest beauty, but otherwise I really try to stay clean. I'm a breast cancer survivor. I cleaned up my whole beauty routine.
I know, and you got breast cancer young, didn't you?
I got it super, super young. I have no one in my family. So not only did I change my diet, I changed my beauty routine entirely to be much more clean focused.
Was that before or... After you sort of switched career paths?
After I switched career paths. So I was in school. I'd already had a baby. And then I actually had learned about a dimple being a form of breast cancer. I had just finished breastfeeding my first child for an entire year.
Very familiar with your
right?
body.
And then I was like, there's a dimple in my breast that wasn't there before. And I knew it was a sign of cancer. Things move quickly. I had proper invasive ductal carcinoma, stage one, thank goodness, but I had the mastectomy, everything. And so here I am, right? But I cleaned up everything after that.
Yeah, we always get taught to do the examination for lumps. I actually don't think I knew that dimples are a sign of cancer.
They absolutely
are. Look at you
are.
Out here doing a public health duty.
I know,
duty.
It's,
thank
it's
you.
Real. And I didn't feel a lump. And my OB-GYN didn't feel a lump.
But you were like, let's...
I was like, yes. I was like, I have a dimple. And she was the best physician. Dr. Cox, thank you, wherever you are. And she believed me. And she's like, let's get you a mammogram. And it was very quick because it was very clear.
Yeah, at 32, you're not getting a mammogram normally.
And on the mammogram that day, they told me to be prepared. You need to come in for biopsy tomorrow. We need to move like super quickly. I know. But lucky me.
You're in remission.
Right? I am in remission. What is it? I'm almost 8 years out this summer, which is huge, 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 huge. I got to have another baby through IVF. I used acupuncture and Chinese medicine all along the way, and I just feel incredibly blessed to be where I am.
I'm glad you had that background before this happened to you so that you could heal better.
I know that I would have healed the same way. If I hadn't been in acupuncture school, if I hadn't been paying attention to my body, that if I hadn't had a child at the moment I did, I have no idea if I would be here or not. And I just feel extremely blessed. And I really tell people, be proactive. Don't be scared to ask questions. Push. If you have a moment of uncertainty about something, find out what's going on with your body.
It's also like we trust, oh, doctors know and whatever. And the more our healthcare industry changes, it's like you have to be your own.
You have to be your own advocate and find the best care team possible. I love my physicians and I trust them empirically, but I chose them because I trust them so much.
I have friends that are like, I don't like my doctor. And it's like, well, then switch doctors. I mean, it's a privilege too. Hopefully your insurance allows you and all of that. And you have the time to go find a new doctor. But like, you shouldn't be going into the doctor and feeling like you hate them.
You should never go into the doctor and feel like you hate them. You also should like get the entire care team. So like when my patients come to me, let's say they're in cancer treatment and I'm like, you need a whole team that doesn't also, that's not just your doctor. That's your acupuncturist. That's your herbalist. That is your facialist. That is everybody who is making you feel good and getting you to a better place with your health.
Yeah. And there are certain hospitals, obviously, that like do a good job of that where
Absolutely.
You're not just getting the oncologist.
Absolutely. I felt very lucky to be at Northwestern. I know Mayo Clinic does a lot with acupuncture and complementary medicine now for their patients, right?
Yeah, that's so rewarding to see what you do be brought into that.
Absolutely. And even from the aesthetic side, I remember when I was going through my treatment at Northwestern, they had this whole program that like they would help you with wigs and makeup and this whole thing. And I was like, it matters how you feel, how you look, right? Because it affects your mental health, how you're interacting with the world, and having tools like somebody doing your makeup one day is a really nice thing. And Northwestern provided that, which I really, really appreciated.
Yeah, it's all tied together. Like you said, like when people are healthy, they just look better.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And when they're not
right.
feeling well, if they make themselves look better, they
feel actually
feel
better, right? It's 100% real. It really, really is.
Yeah. Okay, before I let you go, we do this at the end of every podcast. I want to do a speed round with you. Fat Mascara 5, if you're up for
yes.
it. What's the first beauty product you ever loved using?
Okay, so there's two. One, do you remember those like oxy pads?
Of course.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Which probably like tore up my skin. I don't know what kind of irreparable or like damage I did to myself, but those.
They were like little, scratchy sponges with benzoyl peroxide.
Yes, that like dried up my beautiful, young, oily skin, right? Okay, so that was one of them. I loved those. And the other one was like a Neutrogena self-tanner. And I would just tan myself like crazy. This was back in the day where like tanning beds were also considered okay. So I was...
I feel like I'm guessing your age. I could figure it out. And like you came up in the Spice Girls
oh,
era.
Oh my God. Scary Spice was my jam. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I can picture it.
Yes. You get it. And so I was... very brown. I mean, I'm naturally brown, but I was very brown.
Okay, those are good ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. What time is it in Chicago? Okay, it's like the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
What was the last thing you bought today?
Okay, so the last thing I bought for myself, well, the actual last thing I bought was not for myself. My girlfriend is turning 40. I bought her a caftan. It was kind of like a selfish, but also selfless purchase. It is, I wear a lot of caftans. And I think that everyone should enjoy wearing a caftan. And I wanted her to enjoy also wearing one. And I bought it from, I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, Myra Penalosa. It is this company. She's like a yogi and she gives money back to parents and young girls in India for school. And my girlfriend is India.
I love that. Also, no problem with sizing. Get it. Get your friend a caftan.
Right. One size.
It's going to fit.
One size. Exactly. It was stressful because like, oh no, what if it does? It's just one size, which is the best. But before that, I got myself a matcha with almond milk. That's how I like it. A matcha latte with almond milk. It's the best.
Okay. That's a very self-carry day. All right. Let's see. Oh, favorite snack. What's your favorite snack?
Depends on what I'm snacking on. I haven't become a bit, like, since my cancer diagnosis, I changed my, like, whole life. I'm not a big snacker anymore, but when I'm treating myself, I love some good dark chocolate, especially Vosges. Vosges chocolates are the best.
Oh, you're a Vosges girl. I'm a Theo girl.
Oh,
but okay.
Tell me about Theo. What is Theo?
They just have the salty, I think it's 85% chocolate. I like really dark. I like bitter.
Same. I like super bitter.
Vosges
dark.
Is bitter. Yeah.
They have a few bitter, not all, but like they have a few and like a salty, dark, bitter chocolate. It's divine.
It's like one square. People are like, that's so boring. I'm like,
no, you don't need more because it's decadent and amazing.
That's
and
a
you
good
feel
one.
So good. And dark chocolate has health benefits.
Everybody loves chocolate always loves that. It's got antioxidants.
It does. It does. Wink, wink.
She's winking wink. Hard. Okay, if there was a movie made of your life, and now that we've heard some more about it, including what happened in your early 30s, the multiple lives you've lived, you have a movie to make. Who's going to play? Who's going to play Gudrun Snyder?
I am so excited to be living in the time that we're living because I remember growing up, there were no mixed-race Asian actresses. I think there was like, who was in Wayne's World?
Tia Carrera.
That was it.
I pulled that out of the back of my brain.
Very impressive. Tia Carrera was like the only person. I was like, oh, she kind of looks like me, right? Now, I feel so blessed to have this whole group.
Oh, you're doing your casting by visual
first. We're
doing
casting by aesthetics. Yes. Personality-wise? Oh.
No, it can be aesthetics. Whatever right. feels
so
right to you.
Aesthetics, I jive with like a Maggie Q. She's been, what is she, in Nikita? I'm flattering myself a lot, by the way.
She's a badass.
She's a badass. She's gorgeous. I don't know if she's mixed race or not, but like
she could embody you.
Yes, she could embody it. All right. Personality and like vibes. I've always loved an Olivia Wilde. I just think she's like women power.
These two people have a lot in common.
Yeah.
These are power.
These are very intense power. That's my vibe.
I don't know if I would have put the acupuncturist with those actresses, but I'm loving it.
It's interesting, and people always try to guess what sign I am, whether it's like astrological or from a Chinese medicine perspective. Astrological, I am a fire sign, and people always think I'm a fire sign from a Chinese medicine perspective. I'm actually water, and water is the chameleon that it can be like, you know, Bruce Lee, water, be like water. It can be.
Wait, excuse my ignorance, but the Chinese. From a Chinese medicine standpoint, is that the year of
the... It's the year. It's the
okay,
it's not
these are
only
the animals
the year,
by year.
It's the animals by year, but it's also the time you were born, things like that. You can look up Batzi. It's B-A-I-Z-H-I, Batzi. And you can find out what sign you are. And I am a water sign, which not only can be calm for my acupuncture side, but can also be like... destroyer of rocks and land and crushing of plants, right? Because water can
this
be anything.
This is tracking for me.
So I do enjoy a good, powerful moment.
All right. Those are good actresses too. And lastly, what do you need to get your beauty sleep? Like it just has to be this thing or that way before you go to sleep.
I've always been a really, really, really good sleeper. I'm the kind of person who's like, okay, I'm going to sleep now. And I turn right over and I am asleep. I've been blessed that way since I was born. It seems very unfair to the rest of the world. But that said, I'm a very good sleeper because I protect my sleep time. Like I look at my husband and he's like on his iPad watching a movie right before bed with it right up against his face. And then he has a terrible night's sleep. And I'm like, well.
So you need no devices to get your beauty sleep.
I just protect it. I'm like, I turn off my phone for sure. I don't engage in work after the hour of 7 o'clock. I just don't. And I protect that time. And then after that, I'll read a book. And that's it.
If it works, it works.
It works, it works. But I'm a crazy person about protecting my sleep.
Yeah. I feel like you go hard in the day. It's like all or none.
All or none.
This is your fire and your water.
This is my fire. I get up at 5. I have a big, like, full day. And then I shut it down.
Of course you wake up at 5
I know. It's so obnoxious. It's terrible. And I like text my friends, hey guys, good morning.
And they're like, we're still asleep.
I know. Exactly. They have their Do Not Disturbs on, right?
Oh. Well, I'm glad you took time out of your busy, busy day to come hang out with us and teach us stuff about acupuncture. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.